Mark chapter 14, starting verse 22 through 26. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The institution of the Lord's Supper was given by Christ at the Passover meal the evening before his death. And because of the context, to really understand what Jesus was imparting in his words and his actions at the supper, it's important that we have some knowledge of the Passover meal. So what is the Passover? You may remember from Exodus, Moses repeatedly telling Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Now, God was demanding it, and yet Pharaoh kept being stubborn about it. So the Lord hammered Egypt over and over and over again with plagues until he relented. And immediately prior to the 10th and final plague that God brought down on Egypt, which was the death of all the firstborn, God's people conducted the first Passover according to his strict instructions. Trusting in God to deliver them, true to his word, each family sacrificed a perfect lamb. And then they marked the doorway to their home, as Sandy read this morning, with the blood of the lamb. And the body of the lamb was prepared according to detailed instructions, and it was eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And the meal was done in haste, with everyone ready to leave at a moment's notice. So they kept their loins girded, their feet sandaled, and kept hold to their staff, ready to go. And the result of this faithful obedience to the Lord was that the Lord's hand of judgment was held back. All the households that were covered by the blood of the Lamb were spared the death of their firstborn. But all the households that were not covered by the blood of the Lamb suffered judgment. And this included all of Egypt, even the Pharaoh's firstborn son. And in remembrance of the Lord's deliverance, the Lord also ordered the Passover to be celebrated yearly. On the 14th of Nisan, the same day as the beginning of the seven-day Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And the Lord's command in Exodus 12, 26 through 27, it explains the Passover's significance. "And when your children say to you, 'What does this rite mean to you?' you shall say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians but spared our homes.'" The Passover presents a remarkable picture of how God works in the deliverance of his people, their redemption, deliverance from bondage and death by the payment of a price. And the price demanded is a substitutionary death, the death of the Lamb. And now you may wonder, you may be sitting out there, "Well, what does this all have to do with me?" Well, the answer is that we need to pay particular attention to the dynamics that are going on here because they apply to us. For like all who lived in Egypt during that 10th plague, be them Egyptian or Jew, we need a Passover lamb. For judgment is coming, and we are guilty. And without a Passover lamb, judgment and God's wrath will come down upon all of us for our sins. But God in his love, he provided for us in our dire need. He sent his son, the ultimate Passover lamb, to be sacrificed for you and for me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence John the Baptist introduced Christ to the world by announcing, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," in John 1:29. And when we understand this basic gospel concept, it helps us to understand Jesus' words when he instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples. following the Lord's directions, we continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper until He returns, repeating His words, remembering what He has done for us in His body and His blood, and hoping in His promise of the kingdom of God. So what did that Passover Supper look like? What did it look like as Jesus led His disciples in it on that fateful night? Well, as we read in verses 22 through 24, Jesus chose two elements of the Passover meal as symbols of what He represented as the Passover lamb, bread and wine. And He designated each as being Him. This is My body for the bread. This is My blood for the wine. In the order of service, the Seder of the Passover in Jesus' time, it had several elements. At the start of the feast, the host, Jesus in this case, recited Kiddush over the first cup of wine. This is the point of the feast where Jesus took the cup and gave thanks that we see in Luke chapter 22, verses 17 through 18. And next, there was this ceremonial washing of the hands by the host. And immediately following the ceremonial washing, the first dipping of the bitter herb took place, and usually it was a raw vegetable. It was dipped either in salt water or in vinegar, and it was passed around to all those in the table. Next, the food was removed from the table, and the host then poured the second cup of wine. But the participants did not drink of it yet. And the reason for the delay was that at this point in the Seder, a ritual questioning by the youngest son took place, with the father answering with a synopsis of Israel's history. Now, we don't know which disciple it was who actually asked the question at the Lord's Supper. Perhaps they picked the youngest one there, whoever that might be. Nevertheless, after that, the food was brought back, and the father, in this case, Jesus as the host, continued the service by explaining the lamb, the bitter herbs, and the unleavened bread. And next they sang and they drank the second cup of wine. And then they washed their hands again. And at this time the host broke the bread and pronounced blessing over the bread. He gave a piece then of this broken bread dipped in bitter herbs to each person there at the table. And here's thought, it is thought that at this point was where Jesus dipped the sop and gave it to Judas Iscariot and told him to go do what he had to do, as we see in John 13, 26 through 27 and Mark 14, 20. And following this, they ate the Passover lamb. And according to the Seder, it was always the last thing eaten. They then washed their hands a third time. I know a lot of hand washing, right? They washed their hands a third time, followed by a third cup of wine being poured. And the host, Jesus, well, he then gave the blessing after meals. It is here that Jesus broke with tradition in the Last Supper. He broke bread after the Passover lamb was eaten, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In verse 22 here in Mark, also Luke 22:19. Now this breaking the bread after eating the lamb, well, it was extremely radical, and it was of striking significance. So why this radical variation? Well, Jesus was making a distinct point here that he wanted his disciples to be sure to note. By designating the unleavened bread as his body being broken and eaten at that time during the Passover meal, Jesus demonstrated that he transcended the old Passover lamb. As Cecil Rosen and Moshe Rosen wrote in their book, Christ in the Passover, Why is This Night Different? This variance indicated that he was designated to become the better sacrifice, to die once for all. And the third cup of wine was called the cup of blessing, or the cup of redemption. And the reason this cup was designated the cup of redemption is that because this cup represented the blood of the Passover lamb. And Jesus blessed this cup of wine. And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, verses 23 and 24. And Matthew adds in Matthew 26, 27, and 8 that it was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And what is significant here is that Jesus took the cup which represented the blood of the Passover lamb, and he designated it as representing his blood. In this way, he showed his disciples that he was the ultimate lamb to be slain, and his blood would be the means for redemption. Jesus was declaring that his upcoming death on the cross would be a death of substitution and sacrifice. And we know that he was put forward by God as a propitiation by his blood, taking God's wrath upon himself, his body, atoning for the sins of all who apply his blood in faith. Romans 3:25. At the end of the supper, a fourth cup was poured, and they sang a closing hymn. Now this fourth cup Jesus refused to drink. As he said in verse 25, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Now why would he say that? Well, his words took the form of an oath. Jesus was saying that he would not drink again of the fruit of the vine until his work of redemption was fully accomplished. It was a promise. It was a covenant. It was a seal of hope in his completed work. In the book of Revelation, John refers to Jesus as the Lamb 30 times. And particularly, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb who was slain and who purchased for God with his blood men from every tribe, every tongue, and people and nation. See this in Revelation 5, verses 5 through 9. Further, the book of life, which has written on the names of all who are saved, all of the elect, is referred to as the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. Revelations 13, 8 and 20, 15. Then in Revelation 19, 7 through 9, there's a description of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It says in verse 9, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And this marriage supper of the Lamb is where Christ will preside with his bride, the church, and it is there that Jesus will drink that fourth cup, his work of redemption having come to full completion with the consummation of his kingdom upon the earth. And what a great and joyous marriage feast that will be. For now, until Jesus' return, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ's sacrifice for our sins and looking forward to the hope of his consummated kingdom. And we do this in obedience to his command, "This do in remembrance of me," recorded in Luke 22, 19 and 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. Now Christ established the Lord's Supper to be carried on by his church, and the supper replaced the Passover meal. Yet every time we partake of the Passover, as Christ is the Passover. Hence, Paul refers to Jesus as Christ our Passover in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. So when we eat the bread and we drink the wine in remembrance of Christ, spiritually we eat the body and drink the blood of Christ, the ultimate Passover lamb. For we partake in faith. Now in a startling passage in John 6, 53 through 56, Jesus had said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Now, to the original hearers, what Jesus said here was very hard. It was very hard. For us, however, post-resurrection and ascension, we understand that Jesus was referring to his, His chosen people partaking of His flesh and drinking His blood in faith. And in our trust for Christ, or trust in Christ for salvation, we commune with Him by His Spirit who indwells us. His sacrifice is applied to our lives. Our sins are placed on Him on the cross. We are covered by His shed blood, and we receive His righteousness, salvation, and all the blessings of Christ with confident hopes of eternal life. Judgment is coming, and we are guilty. But our Passover, Jesus, has saved us if we trust in His promise, His covenant of grace. Now, the last verse of our passage today, there in verse 26, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." And during the Passover, they would sing what's called the Hallel Psalms, Psalm 115 through 118. And Keith Matheson, in his book Given for You, he explains that only hours before His death, Jesus was singing from Psalm 116. "For You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I will offer to You the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord." And Matheson continues explaining how in the context of the establishment of the new covenant, Psalm 117, the next psalm, it's appropriately a call to the Gentiles to join in the praise of God. And then the next psalm, Psalm 118, is a song of praise to God for His everlasting mercy. "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord is God, and He has made His light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to You. You are my God, I will extol You. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Imagine that. Jesus singing these psalms with His disciples, knowing that in just a few hours He would be betrayed, arrested, tried, beaten, and crucified. And these psalms describe, as William Lane puts it, how God would guide His Messiah through distress and suffering to glory, which is exactly what God did. So why did God set all this up? The Passover, the Lord's Supper, redemption bought for His people with His sacrifice. Why? He did it because He loves you. He loves you. He did it for you so that you would be ready when judgment comes. Or ready how? Ready by being covered. Ready by being shielded by the blood of the ultimate Passover Lamb. And you receive this gracious gift of salvation, redemption for your sins, in your trust in Jesus to do what He said He would do to save you from your sins. We are all guilty sinners. It is useless to deny it. God's judgment is coming, and we better be ready. Trust in Jesus. Feed on His body and His blood in faith, and receive that great hope put forth in His covenant promise, eternal life, resurrection, and communion with our Lord for all time. For His steadfast love endures forever. And because judgment is coming, we must trust in the Lamb that was slain.